Hi, everyone. Welcome to Flock Talk. I'm Erin Morgan.
And I'm Stacey Sage, and we work for the members of the Ontario Sheep Farmers. Today, we have two guests joining us to discuss the exciting international market research project initiated by Ontario Sheep Farmers in 2024. We have Michael Keegan, an agricultural industry problem solver and a key partner in this project. Michael brings a wealth of knowledge and experience in understanding consumer behavior and market trends, making him an invaluable partner to the Ontario Sheep Farmers Initiative.
Joining Michael is Shakiba Shani, a passionate advocate for agricultural development and community engagement. Shakiba has been instrumental in bridging the gap between producers and consumers, ensuring that the insights from this research translate into real-world benefits for Ontario's lamb industry. Welcome, Shakiba and Michael.
Thanks for having us. We're really pleased to be joined with you.
Awesome. Can you give us an overview of the International Market Research Project, its main objectives?
Of course. And good morning and thanks for having us. I thought I'd start with a joke, actually.
Awesome.
Do you know what a sheep's favorite car is?
No. Can't think of it.
It's a Lamborghini.
Oh, nice one. Nice one.
Always thanks for enduring.
Always good to start with the sheep joke.
Well, it's related to, you know where dads keep their dad jokes, right?
I have heard this answer and now I can't think of it. Tell us.
Well, it's in the database.
Oh, I have heard that before. Nice one.
Oh, this is so perfect for this morning. Thank you for this.
Thank you. Thank you for tolerating me. I appreciate it. So the International Marketing Research Project was Erin Morgan's idea. She came and talked to us about this idea. And the idea was that lamb consumers are, obviously a diverse group, but she had this idea that there was a particular tension or relationship amongst certain ethnic communities for which the industry was not as yet taking full advantage of. And so she came to us with this idea of, could we look at ethnic demographics around the world and then do a deep dive on how those demographics show up in Ontario and what the potential opportunities in a deeper and more sophisticated relationship with those ethnic communities might look like to the benefit of the industry as whole. And so that was the genesis of that. You know, I would give full credit to Erin, the team and the board of directors for being forward thinking and for kind of conceiving of this idea, which, as we discovered as we went through this project, was something that was new and innovative in agriculture in Ontario. And so I think right out of the gate, we found success just in the concept and the execution of this idea. Do you have anything to add, Erin? I'm giving you full credit.
I don't know if due. I deserve full credit. That was very kind. And I think that part of, like, the idea really came from our industry advisory committee, where we had a meeting with everyone, I don't know, like a year and a half ago now. It was a while ago. And I think Ontario Sheep Farmers was also looking for a way to have a higher profile, you know, when meeting as a value chain with the members of, you know, with the other members of the committee, the auctions, the processors, the retailers. I was looking for a way that we could bring some value to that committee beyond just sort of a report on what was happening on the sheep farm. I was hoping that we could collaborate more on a downstream, like on the downstream marketing initiatives, as opposed to just staying in just the farm lane. And so, yeah, that was the other sort of reason for doing the project, was to be a value added partner to that committee. And I think we accomplished that with the report that you guys created. So thank you for that.
Yes, absolutely. So once the project was confirmed, can you talk to us a little bit about how you approached the market research and what some of the goals were throughout the phases?
For sure. So based on what we were trying to accomplish, I think our approach to this was kind of multi-phased. So the first phase, what we wanted to do was look at countries around the world and identify kind of ethnic demographics around the world. So those would be communities, cultures, countries, kind of subnational regions who had some kind of traditional, cultural, religious affinity for lamb. And then having identified those countries and cultures around the world, we then looked more specifically at Ontario to determine to what extent do those communities reside in the province, particularly with some critical mass, to say who are those cultural communities in Ontario that reside in some number around which, you know, there's this pre-existing relationship with lamb and some kind of cultural cuisine affinity. We then had an opportunity to engage across the value chain, talking to producers, processors, retailers, other industry stakeholders, including government regulators and others, you know, to get their perspective on the findings that we had uncovered in those first two phases, get a sense of what it might take to take advantage of some of the opportunities that were emerging out of that research. Then we took all that information, synthesized it, and then created a set of conclusions and recommendations that I think we'll get into.
So in the research that you did, I think it's pretty obvious that probably the Middle East, North Africa, were the communities that stood out. You know, I think which most people would know, just sort of like knowing who their customers are for lamb in the farming industry. Can you talk to us a little bit, though, about like why they have an affinity for lamb and the significance in Ontario, the numbers, like, you know, anything that you sort of found out that would be helpful to our members?
Right. So, you know, the cultural communities that we identified in that first phase around the world, kind of the key elements there's a strong correlation between cultural and religious traditions. So Islamic traditions and these cultural traditions around pastoral or nomadic kind of history, in some cases still active in those activities. So I would say, well, North Africa and the Middle East were certainly where we zeroed in on, and in particular because in Ontario, we identified a number of kind of larger cultural communities from those regions. There were other regions, in particular China. And Aaron, we did have some back and forth on that, wondering why that didn't become more of a priority. And the reason there was because China is a big country, and certainly, you know, there are in those areas in China where there are kind of affinity for lamb, there was very low levels of cultural presence here in Ontario. And there's obviously a whole kind of political background to this, but you know, the region where the Uyghurs come from and other places, kind of Tibet and others. So there wasn't a large presence in Ontario, but, you know, there are other regions in the world where there is a cultural or traditional affinity for lamb. Certainly Europe, Australia, New Zealand, as you would well know also. But I think we were trying to zero in on what were those potential market opportunities in the cultural or ethnic communities that maybe we could identify some new opportunities. So underserviced markets, let's say. Mm-hmm. So in Ontario specifically, we identified kind of 12 cultural communities: Pakistan, Iran, Lebanon, Afghanistan, Egypt, Turkey, Iraq, Somalia, Syria, Ethiopia, Morocco, and Sudan, or Sudan. And interestingly, you know, while there's kind of this cross-cultural affinity for lamb, for a host of reasons, it was a really interesting distinction in culinary practices. So the kind of recipes, the flavors, the different cuts, which we might get into later, creates some new opportunities as well. But, you know, as much as there was this kind of cross-cutting similarity, there was also distinct differences that I think we were able to uncover and provide some good insight around.
Yeah, I think that was the most interesting part, that when you look at the opportunity, it's not just one group of people that all have the same sort of tastes and purchasing habits. When you actually pull it apart to look at all of the distinct groups, there's quite a lot of variation. I mean, which is consistent with everything else in the world. But in this particular case, like, I think historically we have treated like the European buyer differently from the Middle Eastern and North African buyer. But that's as far as we've gone. Like, there's two distinct groups and they buy, you know, one buys a heavier lamb, one buys a lighter lamb. But there's just so much nuance in that Middle Eastern and North African category that this project really teased out.
Absolutely.
And adding to that nuance, how would you say global food trends influence lamb consumption in Ontario, particularly among ethnic communities?
Well, I think for that, what we're seeing is there is, you know, like in any kind of consumer demographic, there is a host of attributes that consumers are looking for. So what we found was, again, you know, some real distinctive differences. So, for example, the purchasing power of ethnic communities that we identified in Ontario, there was some stratification. So some, you know, more recent immigrant communities, particularly ones from regions where, you know, there might be a larger influx of refugees, that purchasing power is relatively low. Whereas more established ethnic communities, you know, would have a similar kind of consumer purchasing power profile to other Canadian or Ontario consumer groups. And I think one of the opportunities that we identified inside of that was that, you know, being able to develop a relationship with those consumer groups, particularly the more recent immigrant communities, present an opportunity to develop a long-term consumer relationship. And so I think we'll get into that later, but those are some real opportunities to grow and evolve with those communities. So the other opportunity here was that, you know, again, like any consumer demographic, there are different attributes around which consumers are looking for. So ethnic communities are no different. Price obviously is one of those attributes, but also different cuts. And this led to some conversation around, was there an opportunity to be perhaps more sophisticated in looking at a carcass maximization utilization strategy in the Ontario domestic market to identify which lamb cuts would be more valued in different communities? And certainly, you know, a growing recognition of some of the, you call them more moral attributes like fresh, local, humane, certainly halal in Islamic religious communities is kind of table stakes, right? That you've got to start there. And in many ways, the industry is well established on that front. But to be able to then kind of build further value around some of those other attributes that go beyond price, I think was the other big insight there.
Yeah, that's great. So when you were looking at the statistics and all the information about the different communities and talking to leaders within the groups, did you learn much about the retention of culinary traditions. You know, you mentioned people who have been in Ontario longer. Some communities have been here longer than others. What did you see when it came to like the retention of their culinary traditions, and in particular, like, do they keep eating lots of lamb after they arrive in Ontario?
Well, as always, it depends, right? So, some people and then some demographics have kind of that longer affinity retention. Certainly holidays and special occasions were a place where those more established communities maintain that that relationship with lamb. But I think, you know, and this is intuitive as well as supported by the data, but the more established people become here in Canada and Ontario, the more that they're exploring other protein, you know, and food options. So again, back to that initial insight around, you know, the opportunity here is to grow and evolve with more recent ethnic communities to have a longer term relationship. And some of the consumer trends, in addition to what I mentioned earlier, is, you know, ready to eat meals, ready-made meals. You know, how does the industry start to build more options in that suite of product offering to kind of help maintain that relationship and that affinity for lamb over that longer period of time? So, you know, I think those were the kind of insights that we gleaned from that. The opportunity here is to grow and evolve with communities by being responsive to the evolution of their food habits and demands, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to provide a little bit of color commentary on that, because one of the things on this project that was really interesting for me personally as a first generation immigrant from an Iranian family was to look at this from a qualitative perspective and see if what Michael just said rings true. And it very much does, even in my own family. So where my family would look specifically for lamb options to meet culinary traditions of meals that they made and cooked for us growing up, you know, that was just key. And then, but someone like me growing up here in Canada, those attributes around quality, consistency, and then price start to influence whether or not I'm drawn to purchasing lamb and using that either in the same meals or, frankly, in the more diverse cultural meal options that are available, you know, growing up in a North American you know, community. So just to say that it's interesting to see that in practice, and those nuances really do exist between communities, between generations, and between experiences among people.
Shakiba, I've yet to enjoy your mom's lamb stew.
Yeah, that is true. I did make a commitment to the group that maybe we could try and enjoy some warm sabzi as an example. So yes, we'll follow through at some point for sure.
Very cool. I was actually going to ask you, like, when you think of lamb, even though you've transitioned your diet to like other proteins and brought in probably other ways of cooking various things, like we all do, experimenting, do you consider lamb the same way that, you know, I would consider like my mom's home cooking? Like, is it a warm memory? Like, does eating lamb and the dishes with lamb that maybe your mother or your grandmother would have made, or your grandfather? No. Do they still have that sort of warmth and pull back? Like that yeah. Sort of traditional. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like lamb does evoke the, you know, cooking it, for example, particularly in some ethnic dishes, is the kind of work that takes time, and you are delicate with it, and you're usually gathered in the house with everybody. There's a sense of connected to the eating of a meal that includes lamb. So it is definitely a welcoming, warm, sense of home kind of meal, which again, in context of, you know, my life right now, sometimes that's not the first thing that comes to mind when you're just trying to feed small mouths or trying to move at a quicker pace, right? But absolutely, it's very reminiscent and nostalgic of with a lot of positive affinity connected to it.
Cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Really appreciate it.
Now we're going to switch gears. Now we're going to talk about supply chains.
Warm and cozy, good feelings, right? So with that said, in your research, which challenges have you encountered in the supply chain from farm inputs to marketing when it comes to meeting the demands of ethnic consumers?
So I think it would be actually useful to kind of switch this conversation and talk about, so what's the plan? Because I think the gaps or some of the challenges that you're asking about make more sense in the context of, so what's the way forward here? So I'll just speak to that if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, what we've uncovered here is that there is opportunity, you know, and in some ways a significant opportunity to grow and develop, you know, a more sophisticated and responsive relationship with ethnic consumers in Ontario. And so I think the strategies that we identified around that were to kind of threefold here. So the first was you need to have better and more sophisticated relationship with those communities. So the first recommendation was literally around building connections in smart and targeted ways with ethnic communities to develop a relationship that will provide more insight into the demands, you know, the consumer demands of those communities, and to raise awareness of the Ontario sheep industry. Inside of that were a number of other opportunities, including labor and others that people can look at. But really, it was you need to have a better, more sophisticated relationship. And, you know, perhaps not to our surprise, there's a real appetite amongst those ethnic communities to reciprocate on that offer. So that was number one. The second was to look at and develop more product differentiation, starting with an Ontario lamb brand. So if people are already predisposed to or have a predisposition relationship with lamb, how do they know where to get and purchase Ontario lamb? You know, whether those attributes are local, fresh, supporting the region, whatever that reason is, where do they get it? How do they buy it? How do they know what they're getting? So that was the second recommendation. Some tactical kind of near-term pieces, like just building a map of where they can get it, as well as just, you know, some kind of basic branding opportunities around fresh local Ontario lamb. The product differentiation, you know, that was getting into more of the, so what are some of those product offerings that would allow the industry to meet changing consumer demands, like those ready-made products. And then the third was around building capacity and infrastructure, because to your initial question, there are some gaps in the supply chain that will be challenges or barriers, particularly over the longer term, to ramp up the, you know, the supply chain that's necessary to kind of meet those market opportunities that were identified, you know, and that's everything from processing capacity, particularly around some of those value added options, you know, some observations around inconsistency in the supply. You know, not a ubiquitous critique, but certainly something that emerged. And then, you know, kind of overall, what is that collaborative and uniting strategy that can elevate collaboration across the value chain? Because everybody needs to be on side and on board with that option. So we looked at a couple of different industries where that kind of strategy developed and what it took, particularly over time, to build the capacity to take advantage of those demand opportunities. So I just wanted to put those challenges in the context of there is a way forward. There is opportunity. You know, the gaps, you don't have to tackle everything at once, but to the extent that you want to go down this road will require an engagement, interrogation, and solution to those challenges.
Amazing way to end it. Thanks so much. And Shakiba, any last thoughts on, you know, guiding us forward from here?
I think Michael did a good recap of the opportunity and challenges and the way in which they're kind of integrated and enmeshed with one another. And I just encourage the industry and the work that OSF does to continue forward, you know, grab those low-hanging fruits and building strong relationships and connections with community locally and across the province, ethnic communities, as organizations and people are really keen to help with those connections. And like Michael said off the top, surprisingly, this isn't happening across other industries even. So sheep, this industry can really lead the way of what it means to build real meaningful connections and some great opportunities around brand differentiation that's going to be required to continue to grow the market. So there's some great next steps laid out, and we look forward to seeing progress over time. Thanks so much. Wow.
We thank you so much for doing this project and also, you know, going above and beyond and making those community connections for us, you know, after the project was complete. We appreciate that. We've had some meetings and we actually had a big win recently where we met with a processor and we talked to them about the project and the suggestions from the project. And there was enthusiastic support for things like the map. And so, yeah, it's already working. And we'll continue to sort of follow the roadmap that you've laid out for us and appreciate the work that you've done on this project very much.
Great.
That's thanks amazing.
So yeah. And thanks for joining us today. And thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Flock Talk, please subscribe through your podcast app to receive alerts for our future episodes. And please share our podcast with your friends.
Hey, Stacey, what's new at Ontario Sheep Farmers?
One event we would really like to feature is Field Day 2025. That's going to be hosted by Ontario sheep farmers and large flock operators. This is an event that's going to be open to commercial sheep farmers and those aspiring to be. It will be held on July 24th at Orono Fairgrounds. Stay tuned for more details on that and pop back into ontariosheep.org/events to see the latest updates for that event. Thanks so much.
And for more Ontario Sheep Farmers content, follow us on social media at Ontario Sheep Farmers on Instagram and Facebook, at Ontario Sheep on X, and visit our website at ontariosheep.org. Thank you for listening.